Hello there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to podcast number 13 of my Macintosh series. It's been a little while since I've done a podcast, but I'm still here, and got some stuff to show you on this one that hopefully you will enjoy. And thank you to everybody who has sent me email and told me how much you've enjoyed them, said how much it's helped you, and convince some of you to get a Mac. That's awesome. That's great. So hopefully you will find this one useful as well. I have a brand new Mac sitting next to me. I still have my Mac Mini that I've used for my other podcasts. It's not going anywhere. But I did go out yesterday and buy a brand new MacBook, one of the laptops. Apple just came out with a new model of MacBook. And I've been meaning to get a laptop for a while, and decided, you know, now was a good time to do it with the new model. And it's nice. This is the MacBook model. It's not the Pro. The new model has a 2.4 gigahertz dual-core processor. It has 2 gigs of RAM. You can upgrade that to 4 if you wish. It has a 250 gig hard drive. And the battery life in it is 10 hours, a 10-hour battery life. And I can attest that the battery life is pretty long on this. I've been kind of playing with it all day on and off, doing quite a bit of stuff, though. And the battery, I think, right about now is around 25%. So it definitely is a very long-lasting battery. And it's an awesome laptop. I love it so far. So what I'm going to show you in this podcast, I'm going to kind of focus on the MacBook, Apple's laptops, and show you some things that are unique to VoiceOver. If you have a laptop or are considering getting it, and it's really cool, there's some really cool features with the trackpad that you can do with VoiceOver. So I'll show you that. And then we will look at some word processor and spreadsheet applications. I don't use these apps, the advanced stuff, a whole bunch, but I'll show you some things that I can. We'll take a look at Apple's iWork suite. We'll look at Pages, which is the word processor, and then a little bit of numbers, maybe. I really don't know a whole lot about spreadsheets at all, so all I'd be able to do is type in a couple of things into the cells, but I'll do that just so you can see how it reads. And then we'll take a look at OpenOffice, which is a free office suite. I don't think it's accessible in Windows, except I think with maybe NVDA, but a lot of the major screen readers don't work with it because it's Java-based, and they don't work with Java things very well. I think it's also accessible on Linux, but it is accessible on the Mac. It's not perfect. You can definitely tell it's not a native Mac application, but for the most part, it works pretty well. It's certainly usable. Even though it's a Java application, VoiceOver is able to provide you access to that. So we'll take a look at that also. Before we fire up this MacBook, let me kind of describe what it looks like for any of you who, after hearing this, might want to go check out one of the MacBooks. And this would also apply to the MacBook Pros also. The main difference between the MacBook and the MacBook Pro, the MacBook Pro is actually made out of aluminum. It's an aluminum case, whereas the MacBook is a white, I think it's polycarbonate plastic, but it's well made. Don't think that because it's plastic, it's cheaply made. That's definitely not the case. It's a very good laptop. And I'll try to describe to you where the ports are on this. And again, this would apply to the MacBook Pro also. The Pro has an SD card slot, I think, and a FireWire port, whereas the MacBook itself doesn't have those. And if you have something that uses FireWire, you can, I think there's USB adapters you can get. And certainly for SD cards and that type of stuff, there's USB card readers, so that's easily dealt with. Really, there's not a whole lot of difference between the 13-inch MacBook, which is what this is, the MacBook is 13-inch, and the 13-inch MacBook Pro. except for the case and getting the SD card slot in the FireWire port. So, anyway, what this looks like is the ports of interest really are on the left side of it. On the right side, you have the slot-loading DVD drive. So that's that's good to know where that's at. All your ports are going to be on the left side then of the Apple MacBooks series. On the top left is your charger port. Now the charger on these is very interesting. It's actually magnetic. The way it works, the charger, of course, is a power pack as it is for most laptops, and you can do one of two things. You can plug it into the wall outlet directly, or if you need more space or a longer cord, the part that actually has the prongs on the power pack will pull out, and then you can actually insert an extension cord into that remaining port and then plug that extension cord into the wall outlet. Now for me at this point, I've just plugged the power pack directly into the outlet. It provides enough of a cable that I can plug that in directly without having to use the extension cord. But it's there if you want to. And then on the end of the cable that plugs into the Mac itself is a magnet. Now there is a cover on that when you first get it that you'll want to remove. And once that's done, then you simply kind of move it around the port on the top left, and it will the magnet will attach, and that's how it charges. So that's kind of how that works. But it does take a little getting used to if you've never had a charger like that. Most chargers for laptops plug in directly instead of using a magnet. But it's a good design, though, because if somebody were to trip on your cord or anything like that, it would not pull the laptop off of a table, which would not be good. It'll just cleanly disconnect the cable from the computer. So on the top, on the left side at the top, you have the charger port. Below that is your Ethernet port. That is a gigabyte Ethernet port, so it'll connect to pretty much any kind of network that's out there now. Below that, you have a mini display port. So if you want to connect that to any kind of monitor or projector, you'll probably need an adapter to either convert that to a DVI or a VGA. So that's how that works. Below that, then, you have two USB ports. And then right below that, you have a audio jack, which can be either for output, like headphones or external speakers, or input, like line in or something like that. And you can set in the system preferences how that port is to be used. And then right below that, you have a little rectangular thing for a lock that you can connect to prevent theft of your computer. I would suggest also that if you get one of these, or any laptop really, you definitely want to get some type of case or sleeve to put it in for protection. You can get a actual case that you carry that has the straps on it, or you could get a sleeve that it will go in, and of course those don't have handles or anything on them because it's assumed you'll carry it, you know, in a backpack or something like that. So that's kind of how that works. But it's definitely something you'll want to get for protection for your computer. Well, let's go ahead and fire up the MacBook. And there's a couple of things I want to show you before we get into the office stuff. Since this is my second Mac, there is a utility actually that will transfer the stuff from, you know, if you have one Mac, it'll transfer it from one Mac to the other. And I got to say, it did a very, very good job with that. I keep a backup using a Carbon Copy Cloner, which is a hard drive cloning application, on an external hard drive. And I connected that, and it transferred all of my account stuff, my applications, all of my preferences, so I didn't have to reconfigure. I think in podcast number, was it six? I think it was either six or seven, where I showed you some things you might want to tweak to make things a little easier to read. I didn't do any of that. It transferred all of that stuff over for me. And it only took about 10-15 minutes off of an external hard drive. So I'll show you the utility that'll do that. And I want to show you the trackpad. That is a really cool feature with VoiceOver. And you can use that to navigate through Windows or even the web. It's really cool. It's really nifty. So let's go ahead and fire this up. I am actually sitting on my couch with the laptop on my lap. So it weighs about, I think, 3 or 4 pounds. So it's very comfortable to have on your lap. And I've got to say, too, I was surprised. A lot of the Windows laptops I've seen, they get pretty warm underneath, and you hear the fans kicking into turbo and that type of thing. Not so with this. It gets slightly warm underneath, but you'd hardly even notice it. And I've never heard the fan kick on this at all. So I'm going to go ahead and put the screen up, and let's go ahead and fire this up. The power button is on the top right of the keyboard. So I'll just go ahead and press that. And there's the Mac startup sound, and the display comes to life. By the way, one thing you may want to do with VoiceOver, if you're using that, it has a feature called the screen curtain. And what that is it basically black, it turns off the display, essentially, makes it go black. And that's a great thing to do, especially if you don't need to see the screen at all, because it'll certainly save your battery, which I'm using the battery right now, actually. And we'll see if I got enough battery juice in this to make
Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, volume.
All right, and we are on the desktop, so that's how long it took to boot up. If I don't have enough power to get through this, it's not a problem. I can plug it in very easily. And by the way, you might notice my audio quality sounds different. I'm not using the Victor for this. I've gotten a couple other players since then, and I'm using the Plextalk Pocket to record this, which is known for its good quality. And plus, it'll record straight to MP3, which means I won't have to use a utility to convert it like I did with the stream. Makes it much easier. All right, so we are sitting on the desktop. The first thing I'm going to do is turn on the screen curtain, which is a feature, again, of VoiceOver to darken the screen, because I can tell if there's something on the screen, but I can't read it, so it does me no good, and that battery power would be much better used for other things. So to do that, we do a Control-Option-Shift F11. That's how we activate that. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now.
Screen curtain on.
And it says screen curtain on. And that's that. So now the screen is totally dark. And it's not completely black, actually. You can still tell there might be something on behind there, but it's but certainly it saves it quite a bit. If you really want to turn it off totally, you can set the brightness to 0% in the system preferences, but that won't actually remain static. It'll set it back to maximum when you reboot, because it assumes that if you're at 0%, you won't be able to see the screen, which is true, actually, so that's a valid thing. Okay, we are sitting on the desktop, and the first thing I want to show you here before we look at the migration assistant, which will transfer your information, is the trackpad. The MacBook Pros, ever since, I think, the end of 2008, and the MacBook models from late 2009, and of course this one, the mid-2010, have the multi-touch trackpad. And you can use gestures with that to control a VoiceOver. Normally, of course, they're used to control the mouse. But VoiceOver has a feature called the Trackpad Commander. And for those of you that are familiar with the iPhone and iPod Touch gestures, you'll feel right at home with this, because they are identical. And except you can use it to navigate your whole computer. There's a few extra ones for, like, interacting and to stop interacting, which, of course, doesn't apply on the iPhone and iPod Touch. But for the most part, the navigation is identical. To turn on the trackpad commander, you can do it one of two ways. You can do it in the VoiceOver utility, which you get to by Control-Option F8, or you can press Control and the Option keys, and then you put two fingers on the trackpad, which is right below the keyboard, and it's a good-sized trackpad. It's about the size of your hand, probably would be. And you do a gesture. You take two fingers, and you turn it clockwise on the trackpad, like you're turning a dial. to enable that. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now, although it's already enabled, but it'll say then that it'll probably tell me that it's already enabled.
Page
Let's see.
And horizontal page one.
Okay. So we do control option and...
Trackpad commander is already on.
It says trackpad commander is already on, which it is. Let me turn this volume up just a little bit. I don't know how well that is picking up on the recording, but let me just turn that up slightly.
Modem. Clock. Selection replaced. Airport. System sound volume. System sound volume. Menu. One items. Finder.
Okay,
desktop.
There we go. All right, so the trackpad commander is on. Now, what I'm going to do here, before we actually do some navigation, I'll show you how you can learn what the gestures do. If you turn on the keyboard help, which I've demonstrated in earlier podcasts, with control option K.
Macintosh HD volume.
So we'll go ahead and do that.
Starting keyboard help. Type keys to hear their names. Hold down the voiceover keys while typing to hear voiceover commands. Press the escape key at the top left corner of the keyboard to stop help.
Okay, there we go. So we're in the keyboard help now. So anything we type or do, it will describe instead of actually performing. So I'll go ahead and show you what you can do with some of these. The really nifty thing is if you touch on the trackpad and just move around, like if you touch the top left, you'll move to like the top area of the screen. So like if you want to move to the top of a window, you can do that really quickly, or the top of the screen. If you know where something is about in a window, for example, in the system preferences, and I'll show you this here in a little bit, if you want to get to an item like sound or something that's farther down, sure, you could, you know, tab or flick, you know, your with the flick to the right with the trackpad. But what you could do is just touch a lower part of the trackpad, and it'll get you down there fairly quickly and at least get you close. And that's that kind of navigation. None of the Windows screen readers can claim that. It's a really cool thing. So I'm going to go ahead and show you some of these gestures, and we'll let it describe them. To move to the previous and next item, which is equivalent to doing, of course, the voiceover left and right keys, you flick one finger left and right, respectively, on the trackpad. So I'll do that now. And you can hear the...
flick left, move left, moves the voiceover cursor left.
And then we'll flick to the right.
Flick right, moves the voiceover cursor right.
Okay. And we can flick up and down.
Flick up, moves the voiceover cursor up.
And down.
Flick down, moves the voiceover cursor down.
Okay. And to actually activate an item, which is equivalent of control option space, or if you got the numpad commander, like I have in previous podcasts with my Mac Mini, numpad 5, you double tap one finger on the trackpad.
Double tap, perform action for item. Performs the default action on the item in the voiceover cursor.
There we go. So that's what that does. Now, there's a lot of other things we can do. On the iPhone and iPod Touch, there is really no interacting with items, but of course there is on the Mac. To interact with an item, we do a two-finger flick to the right.
Two-finger flick right, start interacting with item. Further inspection inside the item. Allows keyboard control.
Okay, so that's what that does. And to stop interacting, we go ahead and flick to the left with two fingers.
Two-finger flick left. Stop interacting with item. Stops interacting with item. Focus voiceover cursor out to inspect surrounding items.
Okay. So that's what that does. I don't know if you can hear that. Sounds like my neighbors downstairs are having a party down there in the apartment building. The Plex Talk has a really good microphone on it, so it may have picked up some of that. Well, nothing wrong with that. It's Saturday night, so why not? okay. So those are the interaction keys. Now, if we do a two-finger flick down, and you want to make sure your fingers are spread out too. If your fingers are really close together, it might interpret that as a one finger instead of two fingers. So you want to spread your fingers out a little bit. And if we do a two-finger flick down.
Two-finger flick down, read contents of voiceover cursor, reads the contents of the item in the voiceover cursor.
That's like a say all, or control option A. That's what that does. And we can do a two-finger flick up.
Two-finger flick up, read from beginning, reads from the beginning of the content.
Okay, so that's how that works. All right, let's go ahead and get out of the VoiceOver help here. I just wanted to show you that you can practice those gestures and learn what they do. And there are several other ones also. But those are the basic ones that you'll want to use to get started. Let's hit Escape here.
Escape, stopping keyboard help.
Okay. One thing you'll want to know on your laptop is how to check your battery status. To do that, you can do a Control F8, which goes to the status menus, which, as a refresher, is the closest thing to like the system tray in Windows. And that's where you have like your Bluetooth status, your Wi-Fi, and I'll show you how to connect to a Wi-Fi network also. Mine's already connected, but we'll disconnect and I'll show you how that works. With a laptop especially, that's important, although that applies to all the Macs. But anyway, if we do a Control F8 here to go to the status menus.
Modem, PPP menu extra.
Okay, that's modem menu, which is good. You can use that if you're going to pair with a cell phone, which I showed you in podcast number 12, the last one. Anyway, let's go ahead and arrow to the left here.
Clock, sat 10:39 p.m.
And that's when I'm recording this, 10:39 in the evening, so that's the clock.
System sound volume.
That's how you change the volume.
Airport, 404 bars with Godfather.
There are 404 bars. That means we got a strong signal. Godfather is the name of my network. I named it that because I couldn't think of anything else. I didn't want to leave it at the default with my router. Linksys is the default, and I couldn't think of what to call my network. I didn't want to call it Mike or something like that. That's a little obvious. So I decided, well, I'm Italian, so and the Godfather is Italian, so why not? Just, you know, something out of the blue. So that's where I got that from. And it's something that people aren't likely to guess. I don't have my SSID broadcast turned on anyway, but it's something that people aren't liable to guess. And then, of course, they'd have to know my password, too. But anyway, let's go ahead and arrow to the left again.
Battery menu, 2 hours and 42 minutes remaining.
So it'll tell you, it gives you an estimate time remaining, 2 hours and 42 minutes. Now, if we arrow down through that, we can get some other info here.
Battery menu, 2 hours and 25% remaining, dimmed.
And it says dimmed because you really can't select it. It's just there for status purposes.
Power source, battery, dimmed.
Power source, battery. If it's plugged into the charger, it'll tell you.
Show, submenu.
Show. You can have it when you go to the left there on the status menu without you having to open the menu. You can set it to show the percentage or the time. I like to know the time. And if you want to hear the percentage, of course, you can just open the menu. Okay. So let's go ahead and the first thing I'll show you here then is the airport, the Wi-Fi, how to disconnect and connect to networks. And there's a couple ways you can do that. You can go into system preferences, or you can just do it from the status menu, which I'll do here. Let's just arrow back to the right.
Show menu, three items, icon only.
Oh, I got to get out of the battery menu first. Okay, I guess I'll have to
Bluetooth hit. Menu, three up battery menu, 404 bars with Godfather, airport menu.
There we go. Okay, 404 bars. Okay,
menu.
Let's arrow down.
Interactive. Turn airport off. Turn airport off. Check mark. Godfather WBH 2W2W2W2WIRE70.
And then it lists all the other networks that it's found.
2W Amy's net WEP password. Home WEP password. PRIGARDWBA2 personal.
But there's quite a few networks this thing's picking up.
PRIGARDWBA2 personal. Megahawk.V23. Dimmed. Megahawk.V23. Join other network, ellipsis. Create network, ellipsis. Open network preferences, ellipsis.
Okay, I'm going to do join other network. I think that'll do it. Let's see.
Create join other network, ellipsis.
And you press, you can just press enter there then.
Closing menu. System dialog. Network name. Edit text.
Okay. Now, it's asking you for the network name here, so that's where you'd type that. Now, again, to navigate this, we could do, the laptops don't have a number pad. We could do the control option right arrow to navigate this, but let's just use the trackpad and flick to the right.
Security. None. Security. Pop-up button.
That's where you'd set if it's WEP, WPA, WPA2.
Remember this network. Check checkbox.
And you can set whether you want it to remember the network, which I have it set to remember mine, so it just connects every time whenever I fire up.
Show networks button.
And if we choose a type of security, matter of fact, I'll do that. Let's go back.
Remember this network. Check checkbox.
I'm just flicking to the left on the trackpad.
None. Security. Pop-up button.
There we go. Okay, it says security pop-up button, so we'll double tap on the trackpad.
Menu. 10 items. Check mark. None.
Okay, now from here, we can use the arrow keys, or we can just flick down on the trackpad, because the menu, of course, is vertical. And let's go down to WPA2. That's what mine would be. So we'll just flick down on the trackpad.
WEP password. WEP 4128-bit hex. WEP 41 leap. WPA personal. WPA enterprise. WPA2 personal.
There we go. And just double tap on the trackpad to select that. Well, come on.
Finder, desktop.
That's interesting. That's kind of odd. What happened here?
Finder.
Let's go back in there. I'm not sure what happened, if I touched the wrong thing or what that was. But let's go back in here.
PPP, clock, system sound, airport, 404, open net, create network, join other network, ellipsis.
Try this again.
Closing menu, system dialog, security, none, security, menu, 10 items, double lead, WPA enterprise, WPA2 personal, WPA2 enter, WPA2 personal.
WPA2 personal, okay. That's really strange. I'm not sure why it's doing that. Where it's,
Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD.
Maybe because I'm already connected to something. You know what? That's probably it. Because I'm already connected to a network. Let me disconnect from that. I'll bet you that's what it is. Let me just go to the network preferences. We'll just do it that way.
Modem, PPP, air battery menu, airport, 404 bars with Godfather, turn airport off. Turn at checkmark, Godfather WPA2 personal.
Okay. I'll probably have to go to the network preferences
Finder.
To do that, because I...
System preferences.
It doesn't seem to give me the option to actually disconnect, so let me do that. Let's see.
Caps lock, leaving toolbar, accounts, if Bluetooth network button.
Okay.
Window, network, toolbar.
All right, so I'm just going to tab and shift tab here in this case.
Cert automatic services table Ethernet airport connected.
Okay, so there's airport connected. Let me just flick to the right with the trackpad now.
Status connected. Status turn airport off button. Airport is connected to Godfather and has the IP address 100 network name. Godfather network name pop up button. Ask to join new networks. Check known networks will be joined. Bottom add service, but known as Godfather.
Okay, let me go in here.
Menu 14 items. Two check mark. Godfather 2W check mark.
Okay, I'm just
WPA2 personal. Amy home double PM device megahawk dot join up create network create network.
Okay,
closing menu. Godfather.
Probably what I have to do is
ask to join known network add service. Delete service button. Service actions menu. Show airport status in menu. Advanced help but click a lock to click a lock
okay.
To prevent click help.
So if I turn the airport off.
Service, add service but known ask to Godfather network name. Airport is connected to turn airport off button. Press turn airport.
Okay, there we go.
Button.
So that will turn that off. Now it will it'll automatically still try to connect. I think to that. Network. Let's see.
Text. Network name. Airport. Off. Network name. DIN pop-up. Ask to join new networks. Check. Known networks will be joined automatically.
Yeah.
If no known networks are available, you will be asked before joining the new network. Add service button.
So, okay, I'll go ahead and re-enable that.
New service.
But, there's probably, I'm sure there's a way to forget that network, but, I'm not sure where it is at the moment, but suffice to say, you would just go in here and if your SSID broadcast is turned on, it will automatically list it, and then you simply type in the password. If it's not, then you type in the network name, choose the security type, and then enter the password, and it'll join. And of course, if you're connecting to a network, you'll probably know what all that stuff is. What the password is and all that stuff. So let's go ahead and turn on the airport again.
Ask to join airport network name text turn port on button. Turn airport on button.
Here we go.
Turn airport on button.
Okay, and now it should reconnect to the
system preferences busy.
And it says it's busy while it connects.
Airport is connected to Godfather.
There we go. Okay, so that's kind of a little overview of how the Wi-Fi works. And that applies on any Mac also. Let's go ahead and I'm going to apply this before we exit out.
Advanced help. Click assist me. Back. Show all. Search automatic. Location. Pop up.
Actually, if I just quit out of here, I think it'll...
Finder. Desktop.
Yeah, I didn't change anything. Okay. So that's how... that's a little overview of the Wi-Fi stuff. Okay. Let me show you now... some of the other stuff that you can do with the trackpad as far as just touching to get around things. Let's go back into System Preferences again. So to do that, I'm going to go down to the dock with Control F3.
Mac dock. System Preferences.
And I'm still on that from before, so let's just press Enter.
System Preferences. Window. System Preferences.
Okay. Now, if we tab into the list
to appearance button.
Of all the different preferences, we're sitting on Appearance. Now, let's say I wanted to get down to... like sound or something like that. Sure, we could tab all the way through this, or you know, I could flick to the right with the trackpad to get there, but we know that that's going to be down toward the bottom of the window probably, because it's farther in the alphabet. So if I just touch my finger down toward the bottom and maybe to the right of the trackpad, let's see.
Sharing button.
Sharing. Now we're on that one. So from there, we could just flick to the go a little more to the right.
Software sound button.
And there we are. See, so if you touch... a certain part of the trackpad, it will move you to that part of the screen. So it really is a great way to get an idea of where things are laid out. That's the really cool thing about the trackpad, is that you can do that. Now, if we want to go back to the top of the window, we can touch maybe something on the top or maybe the the left top left of the trackpad. I'll do that now.
Bluetooth appearance button.
And there we are, appearance. That was at the very top edge of the trackpad, not quite all the way to the left, but very close. So... that really is a great way to get around very quickly. Of course, you got the item chooser and that type of stuff if you don't have a trackpad, but it's just really efficient, and it does give you a way to kind of tell where things are located on the screen, which is a really nice thing to be able to do. Okay, let's go into Safari. And I'll show you how that trackpad can be used on the web, which is a really it's got a couple of really cool features there. Let's go ahead and Command Q out of System Preferences.
Finder, desktop.
Okay, and we'll go back to the dock. I have Safari down there.
Mac dock, Safari, window.
Just as a refresh, the dock on the Mac is kind of a cross between or the equivalent of. The taskbar, because it shows running applications, and the quick launch in Windows, because you can put icons down there and launch them, things that you use frequently. Ah, before we do the web, actually, I did want to show you how you transfer stuff from one Mac to another. So let me... Well, I don't, we don't have to quit Safari. We can leave it open. We'll just Command-Tab back to the Finder.
Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, volume.
Okay. Where it's at, now it'll offer to do this when you first get a new Mac also. It'll offer you to do that, and you can choose to do it there. Or if you want to do it later, which I obviously would have to do because I've already set mine up, it's in Utilities, the Utilities folder. And to get there, the quickest way is to just do a Command-Shift-U. So I'll do that now.
Utilities. Now in Window, Utilities, List View.
And we're just in the folder now, and it's called Migration Assistant. So if I just type the letter M, I should get there. Let's see.
Migration Assistant. Doc.
There we go. That's the application. Let's go ahead and do Command-O and open it up.
Open. Migration Assistant. Window. Migration Assistant. Continue. Button. Has keyboard focus.
All right. So to read this window, there's a couple ways we could do Control-Option-Shift-W to read the window, but let me just touch the top left of the trackpad to zap us to the top.
Image. Close button.
There we go. Now let's just flick to the right and read this an item at a time with the trackpad.
Minimize button. Dim zoom. Migration assistant. Introduction. Image. Text. You can use Migration Assistant to transfer important information from one Mac to another. You can also transfer information to this Mac from an external disk. Some of the items you can transfer are bullet user accounts, bullet applications, bullet network and computer settings, bullet files. To use Migration Assistant, you must enter the name and password of a user with an administrator account. Quit button. Continue button.
And let's go ahead and select continue. I'll just double tap on the trackpad.
Authentication, window, secure edit text has
okay, it wants my password to continue, so I'll put that here. And then just press enter.
Empty scroll area, press continue button. Migration Assistant ready.
All right. Now let's see what else this has to say. Let's go ahead and touch the top of the trackpad again to go to the top.
Image. Text. How do you want to transfer your information? From another Mac, radio button 1 of 3.
Okay, so that would transfer directly from one Mac to another.
From a Time Machine backup or other disk, selected radio button 2 of 3.
That's the one I did when I transferred it, because I had a cloned hard drive of my Mac Mini on my external USB drive. And it found it. It had no trouble finding that one. I don't have it connected at the moment. But that's what you would select if you have an external hard drive. And like I say, it did a wonderful job. It transferred all the applications I had installed, all of my preferences. It transferred everything. I mean, it was seamless. The only thing I had to reinstall was Fusion, which, of course, is what allows you to run Windows, and I expected that, because that does do some things with the system folder, too, I think. So I expected that. But all the other stuff, the Skype, Adium, which is, of course, what you use for instant messaging, and all the preferences for, like, my desktop and displaying everything in lists and all the voiceover settings. I mean, it did it all. It really did. So that's selected by default, too, that second option button, and that's usually probably the one you'd want, but...
Transfer information to this Mac from another Mac connected to it, or from another Mac on the same network.
So that's what you do for the first radio button.
To another Mac, radio button 3 of 3.
And that third radio button allows you to transfer stuff from your Mac to another one, going the opposite direction.
Transfer information to this Mac from a backup disk or another startup disk. Transfer information from this Mac to another Mac connected to it, or to another Mac on the same network. Go back, but continue, button.
All right, so we'll just hit continue here.
Go back button. Continue. Go. Busy progress. Check box. Search text field blank. Image. Text. Empty table. Search text field. Check box. Check. Busy progress. Go back button.
And that's about as far as we can go, because I don't have my external hard drive connected. But suffice to say, what it would give you there is a table of different checkboxes, and it'll ask you, okay, what do you want to transfer? Do you want to transfer your user accounts? Do you want to transfer your settings, your applications, and usually you'll want to do all of it. And of course, if you use Fusion to run Windows, it stores the virtual machine under your documents, so it'll transfer that automatically for you too. So that's how you can transfer stuff from one Mac to another. And I'm actually going to be getting one more Mac. I'm buying a friend of mine's Mac Mini, because I've actually given away my PCs. I've departed the PC world completely, and I don't miss them. I think the Mac is superior, especially considering you can run Windows on a Mac and install Windows even without sighted help. It's a great platform, and of course, on the Mac side of things, the screen reader is totally built in, which is wonderful. And one other thing I'll tell you too, and this was impressive, when I went to get my MacBook, they actually asked me at the store if I knew how to use VoiceOver. So the employees are actually familiar with it, and that is excellent. So, you know, they should be able to help you out if any of you want to go check out one of these, or, again, if you just listen to the other things that I've demonstrated in some of the other podcasts, hopefully you'll be good to go. If not, certainly feel free to email me, and I'll give you my contact info at the end of this podcast. All right, so that's the Migration Assistant. Pretty much, again, you'd select what you want to transfer, you do a continue, and it'll pretty much do the rest once it's done. Okay, let's go ahead and Command Q out of here then.
Finder, Window, Utilities, List.
And I'll do a Command W now to close the Utilities window.
Close window. Now in Desktop.
Okay, now let's Command Tab back to Safari.
Safari, Window, Untitled.
All right, what page should we go to? Hmm. I don't know. How about I don't know. How about Wikipedia? That's always a good site. Let's go there. So we'll do a Command L here to open a page.
Open location. Go.
And we'll just type in
WKIPDIA periods M
and press enter.
HTML content.
All right. Page
Search
is loaded. Okay. Now, again, we can. And for those of you that have used the iPhone or iPod Touch, this will be familiar to you. But we could just flick left and right now and move through this page, an element at a time. Let's go ahead and do a search. And let's see, what should we do a search on? I don't know. How about Macintosh? Why not? So I think I'm already in the box, because Wikipedia defaults to taking you there first. But let me just flick left and right to see.
Heading level 5, search bullets, touch on bullet, recharger bullet, shearcock bullet, ricerca bullet, zoe can bullet, bus car bullet, busca bullet.
That's an interesting label to label
English.
That.
Search
text box, okay. But we'll just type in Macintosh.
M-A-C-I-N-T-O-F-H.
And we could tab here, but since I'm kind of showing you the trackpad a little bit, let's just go ahead and flick to the right.
English, pop-up button.
Yeah, and that's a pop-up button. It's like a combo box. We could change that if we wanted to, but let's keep going to the right.
Right arrow button.
Yeah, that's not labeled, but that is the search button. So go ahead and double tap there.
Press HTML content.
All right, and the page is loaded.
Safari busy. Busy. Safari ready.
All right.
Yeah. Heading for other uses.
Took a second there to load. Okay, so again, now we could flick right to just move through this an item at a time, or we could do a two-finger flick down on the trackpad. Of course, we could also do Control-Option-A. All your voiceover keys are still there. The trackpad can just be used as a supplement for that. So if we just do a two-finger flick down...
For other uses, see... Link, Macintosh. Link, a beige, BOXY computer with a small black and white screen showing window and desktop with icons. Link, enlarge, the, link, original Macintosh.
And that's a say-all. That would just sit here then and it would read the entire page. Now, this is a really nifty feature that I'll show you. It's called the rotor. Of course, again, we can go left and right on the trackpad to move item by item. Yeah, through the page, and all the other keystrokes again are still available to move, you know, to the next heading or the next link or the next form control. Those keyboard commands are still there, but with the trackpad, what we can do is you can set what the flick up and flick down gesture does, what it moves you to. If we use that rotor again, the turning the virtual dial on the trackpad with two fingers, we can move to the different elements that it can, you know, it can take us to. So I'll just go ahead and do that now. We'll do two fingers here, and I'll turn the virtual dial, as it were, clockwise.
HTML content, heading level 3, from form controls, visited links, tables, images, headers, auto web spots, non-visited links, frames, images. Auto web spots, non-visited links, frames, headers, auto web spots.
And I'm kind of touching it as I turn that dial, so that's why it's doing a little extra stuff. So let's now auto web spots are kind of a cool thing. What it does is it analyzes each page and it comes up with places it thinks you may want to go to on the page. And then if you flick up or down, so let's go ahead and flick down now and have it take us to the next auto web spot.
For other uses, see, link, enlarge, the help tag, the Macintosh, pronounce, link, Macintosh.
So doing it that, it got us through those links at the top of a page pretty quick. Let's say we wanted to move by headings, let's turn the virtual dial back to the left.
Headers.
There we go. All right, now if we just flick down.
Heading level 2, contents. Heading level 2, 4 items, link, edit, edit section, history, history.
And there's that. Okay, now we can also, if you want to get somewhat of a layout of what this page is like, you can either touch a spot on the trackpad or just kind of drag your finger around on the trackpad, and it will give you a good overview. So, like, if I kind of move along the bottom of the trackpad here, let me try that.
A service technician who had been hired earlier that year. Over the years, Raskin assembled a large development team that designed and built the original Macintosh.
Okay. Or if we touch more, like, the top of the trackpad.
1998 to 2005. New beginnings. Clickable.
Okay. That is part of the table of contents, I think. Let me go ahead and move to the right.
1998 to 2005.
No, I think it interacted with that. Let me stop. Tell it to stop interacting with that.
Stop interacting with link. 1.5,
yeah, 1990. It interacted with that link there.
Link. 1.6,
so when I touch the top, you see it moved us back to the part of the table of contents. So it's a great way to kind of get a feel. If somebody like tells you, if you're ever like talking to somebody and they say, well, you know, it's down toward the bottom of the page or, you know, down to the bottom right with this, you could actually kind of touch the bottom right of the trackpad and certainly get to that part of the screen. I don't think it's relative to the whole page. I think it's actually relative to the screen. Now, I think with this, and there are commands to do this too with the keyboard, but I think with this trackpad too, we can scroll this down a little bit. We can actually scroll the screen. Let me check that in the keyboard help. Let's do a Control Option K here.
Starting keyboard help.
Okay. I think it's a 3-finger flick down and up. Let me see.
3-finger flick down, scroll up one page, scrolls up by one page.
Yeah, it's kind of backwards because it's actually using this, moving the scroll bar.
3-finger flick up, scroll down one page, scrolls down by one page.
Okay, so let's see if we could scroll this. Let's see what kind of information that gives us. Let's turn off the keyboard help.
Escape, stopping keyboard help.
Okay, now let's go ahead and try that here.
Page 2 of 21. Page 1 of 21.
Okay, we got to go back the other way.
Page 2 of page 3 of page 4 of 21. Page 5 of 21. Page 6 of 21. Page 7 of 21.
And it's awesome. It gives you a great way to tell how many pages are actually going to be on, you know, how many pages are going to be for that web page.
Page 8 of 21.
Okay, now that we've scrolled a bit, now let's touch different places on the trackpad and see what kind of info it gives us. Let's touch the top first.
Link. Macintosh underline system underline 7.5. Link. Enlarge. Link. System 7. System 7. Macintosh. Was the first major upgrade of the Macintosh.
Okay, so now it's talking about System 7. So yeah, the trackpad is relative to the screen, not the whole page itself. So you're able to scroll the screen and everything else with the trackpad. Really cool stuff. That is awesome. Let's see if we touch kind of the bottom right. Let's see what's on the kind of more toward the bottom of the screen.
Hardware manufactured by third parties that ran Apple System 7. This succeeded in increasing the Macintosh's market share somewhat and provided cheaper hardware for consumers, but hurt Apple financially.
Yeah. So you can definitely do a lot with the with that trackpad. That is a great feature. I love navigating like that. And like I say, for those of you that are familiar with the iPhone and iPod Touch, you should feel right at home with some of those things. All right, let's go ahead and exit out of Safari here with Command Q.
Finder, Desktop, Macintosh HD, Volume.
All right, let me show you a little about some of the productivity things, and we'll take a look at Apple's iWork suite. This is, I think, for $79, and you can download a demo of it from the Apple site. And then if you like it, you can purchase a serial number. I haven't purchased it. I'm still in the trial mode. I don't know if my trial's expired yet or not, but if your trial expires, it'll still launch. You just can't save anything. So I don't have that on my dock, so I'm going to need to go to the my applications folder to get to that. So to do that, we'll just do a Command-Shift-A. Go ahead and press that here.
Applications. Now in window, applications, list view, empty table, list view, empty, 44 rows added, address, 18.
Okay, so the iWork suite puts itself in its own folder, so if I type IW, it should, we should get to that, let's see.
iWork 09 collapsed.
There we go. And it's a folder. So we'll just go ahead and do and open that here.
Open a new window. Now in window.
Okay. So,
Keynote.app. Numbers.app. Pages.app.
Numbers is a spreadsheet and Pages is the word processor. Let's go ahead and open that. Open up Pages.
Open. Pages. Window. Buy button has keyboard focus.
And I am still in the trial mode, which I...
Try button.
That's what I want. Just double tap on the trackpad.
Now in window, ABC, close, default button.
Okay, what's this?
HTML content.
Oh, that's like an intro screen. But I'll go ahead and read part of it so you can see what it's like. We've got an HTML content here. Let's just go ahead and interact with that.
Interact with HTML content. Interact with heading level 1. Welcome to Pages 09 image. Heading level 2. The best way to get to know Pages 09 is to see it in action. If you're new to Pages, watch this getting started video to see how easy it is to create beautiful documents. List one item. Link. Click to play. Click to play. End of list. Link. WS underline I heading level 3. Video tutorials.
Okay. So that's just the tutorial stuff. Let's go ahead and stop interacting with that.
Stop interacting with HTML content.
And let's go ahead and flick to the right and...
Show this window when Pages opens. Uncheck checkbox. Close. Default button.
Let's close that.
Now in window, untitled, scroll area, body, edit text.
All right. So what we've got here is untitled document, and we're in the body of the document. Now, there are a couple of other... things here of interest, which I'll show you. Let's go to the top of the window. Let me touch the top left
body edit
of the trackpad.
Header edit text. Header edit text.
Okay, you got a header, which I assume you can write. That's where you'd write your header at.
Body edit footer edit footer edit text.
And then you've got the footer and the body. There are some other stuff. There's some other things here too. I think. Let me stop interacting with this for a second.
Stop interacting with page one group. Stop interacting with scroll area.
Okay, so...
Toolbar button. Untitled.
This is the very
top... Toolbar, scroll area. Scroll area.
So we'd have to interact with that first. Okay.
Interact with scroll area. Seven items layout area.
Okay.
Ruler.
There's the ruler. I'm not really sure what...
Ruler. Layout area. Image. The image. The help tag is... Click to go to another page.
Okay, so these are images, but they have help tags... So you can know what they do.
Image. The help tag is, click to enlarge or reduce the view of the document. Image button. The help tag is, scroll to previous page. Dimmed button. The help tag is, scroll to next page. Image. The help tag is, choose how to navigate. Image.
Okay. So let's go back to that.
Dip button. Image. Image. Layout area.
That's what we need to interact with to actually work with our document.
Interact with layout area. Page 1 group. Page 1 group. Page 1 group.
And we have to interact with that as well.
Interact with page 1 group. Three items. Header. Edit text.
Okay.
Body. Edit text.
All right. So we're in the body, and that's where we would type. And that's where you'll end up when you first open it. I just... Because that's where the keyword focus is. I just wanted to show you what else was here. So you won't have to deal with all that, you know, interacting stuff every time. Well, let's type a few sentences. Let's see... let's do some of the classic ones. I don't know. And I'm going to deliberately misspell something, too, so I can show you how that works. Let's do, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party. And I'll maybe bold or italicize part of that, too, maybe to come to the aid or something like that. So let's just type here.
Bah, N. O, D, space, space, T, space, T, space, space.
All right, now if I wanted to bold the next couple of words, I think if I do Command B here, it should do that. Let's see if it does.
Bold, checked.
Yep, and it even tells you the status. Awesome. Bold, checked, it says. So we'll say to come to the aid.
T, O, space, O, M, E, T, O, space, T, H, space.
Did I get the E in there?
Yes, I did. Okay. Space, A, D, space.
All right, let me turn off the bolding now with Command B again.
Bold. Unchecked.
And it tells you bold is unchecked again, so it does give you the status on this. Of their...
Up space. Up space.
Party, and I'm going to put P-A-R-T-I, maybe.
P-A-R-T-I.
Okay.
Period.
And let's start a new paragraph.
Return.
And we'll do, the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog, and I'll misspell lazy.
T-A-E space. S K space B O F space F F space J M P F space V E space A Z Z Y space.
I think doesn't lazy only have one Z? I think it does. Let's see.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lassie.
Yep, lassie. It mispronounces it. So
D up G period.
Okay, so we got a couple of sentences here to work with. Now we can get the. Attribute information here too. VoiceOver can tell you that. What is the command for that? I think it's Control Option T. Let me go to the keyboard help and find out.
Starting keyboard help. Type keys to hear their names. Option Control T. Read text attributes.
Yep.
Describes all text attributes.
Okay. So.
Escape. Stopping keyboard help.
And there is a setting you can turn it on too, so it'll announce that as it changes. Let's go up to the top.
Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party.
Party, and it mispronounces it, of course, because it's misspelled, which we'll deal with in a second. Okay, so I should be able to just use the option left and right arrow keys, which is what that's what actually moves from word to word.
Now is the time.
Okay, on time. Let's ask VoiceOver what the attributes are on that. Let's see. Or am I sitting on a letter? Let's see.
E. M.
Let's see. Okay. Maybe you have to have the... maybe you do have to have it selected or turn on the attribute notification for that to work. Let's see. Let me try that.
Adjust typing echo. Cap punctuation. Verbosity level. High. When status changes. Play capitals. Numbers. Text attributes. Do nothing. Speak. Play tone. Speak.
There we go.
Stop adjusting text attributes.
Okay, now let's see what it does.
M. M.
Maybe you do have to select it first to hear that. Let's see. Well, to select something, you hold the shift key and you press the key. Unless... Well, let me move to the that bolded part that I did. Now that I've got that...
Time. For. Time. Time for all good men, bold too.
So it tells you that's bolded. Okay, now if we do this, okay, let me go ahead and select some text here. Let's see.
Selected, come to the aid, highlighted.
All right, now if I do that, I'm not sure why that's not reporting the attribute information, unless for some reason it doesn't provide that. Pages doesn't, but it certainly does in OpenOffice. That's I'll have to check into that one as far as getting the attributes. But let me go ahead and turn off the automatic notification of that, though. Let's see.
Adjust text attributes. Speak. Play top. Do nothing. Stop adjusting text attributes.
Okay.
Come to the A. Oh.
So it said come to the A on highlighted. I moved the cursor. All right. Now, to spell check this, there are two ways we can do it. Let me go to the top of this document.
Now.
Okay, it says now, and it moves us up to the top. Okay. So if we press Command semicolon, it will search the document, and it will highlight anything that's misspelled, and then we can open the context menu and fix it that way. Or if we do Command Shift semicolon, it will allow us to do it through a dialog box. So for now, I'll just go ahead and do Command
Header Edit Text.
Oops.
Body Edit Text. Bump now is the
bump the trackpad there. Okay, let's do Command semicolon here.
Lassie highlighted.
Okay. It's lazy. It's supposed to be, of course. But let's go ahead and bring up the context menu with Control-Option-Shift-M.
Menu. 12 items. Cut. Copy. Paste. Paste and match style. Dimmed. Closing menu.
Maybe you have to use the dialog box for this one. Let's see. Let me go back to the
now,
top. Okay.
Unhighlighted. Insertion at beginning of text.
Okay, let's do Command Shift semicolon then.
Window, spelling, lassie, edit text content selected. Lassie, edit text content selected.
Okay, yeah.
Change, detect. This word was not found in the spelling dictionary. Find next, suggested corrections, table, no selection. The help tag is, choose one of the suggested corrections.
Okay, and let's see what that is.
Lazy.
Lazy, okay, and let's go ahead and spell that. Let's see.
Interact with suggested corrections table. Row 1 of 2, selected. Column 1 of 1, lazy edit text. Lazy, L-A-Z-Y.
And that's what we want. So, let's go ahead and tell it to...
stop interacting with suggested correction. Find that text. Change. Default button. Press edit text blank.
Okay. Now, I don't know why it didn't find... the misspelled word of party. Let me exit out of here.
Spelling. Spelling.
Let's see.
Change. Default button. The help. Close. Now in window. Untitled. Body. Edit. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party.
Okay, let me have it. Unless.
Spelling. Window. Spelling. Edit text. Blank. Zoom button.
Unless P-A-R-T-I is a valid word. That's all I can think of there. I didn't know that was a word, but okay.
Spelling.
All right,
close.
Then.
Now in window.
So, that's a little of how Pages works. I like OpenOffice better, myself. It gives you a little more information on things. The spell checker works a little bit differently, but it is usable. It's kind of interesting. For Pages, the spell checker is a little bit easier, but... it's a little harder to get the attributes, it seems. And for OpenOffice, the spell checker is certainly usable, and as you'll see, but the attribute things do work a lot better. Let's go ahead and exit out of Pages here with the Command Q.
Finder, window, iWork, 09, list view, table, one row.
Okay. I'm not sure why that didn't ask if I wanted to save, unless
pages.app.
It did an auto save. Let me just check.
Buy button. Try button.
I'm just going to check this really fast.
Untitled, scroll area, body, edit text.
Is the auto save enabled on this?
Preferences. Now in window. General preferences. Use template. Sub blank. Choose. But editing.
Let me just check this.
Show size and position. Show auto completion list and table columns. Uncheck, show word count at window, saving. Backup previous version when saving. Uncheck, include preview and document by default. Uncheck, save new documents as packages. Uncheck checkbox. Font preview. Show font preview. Hold the option key to toggle font invis. Dodger blue 2.
A little surprised that it didn't ask if I wanted to save there. Okay.
Close.
All right.
Now,
let's go into...
Finder, window.
Numbers. Which
pages,
is
numbers,
the spreadsheet. Now, I know virtually nothing about spreadsheets, admittedly. So the only thing I'll be able to show you is that it does read. there are some other spreadsheets, too, programs. There's one called Tables. And there's also another word processor that I haven't played with called Easy Writer, I think it's called. I've never played with those, though. Maybe I will. But I just wanted to show you this because there still seems to be some misconception that... you know, it's not possible to use spreadsheets and stuff with VoiceOver, and that's simply not true. I know a lot of people that do. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and open up numbers.
System UI server, system dialog. You are now running on reserve battery power.
Oh, yeah? Hold on.
Image. Text. Image. You are now running on reserve battery power. You need to plug the power adapter into your computer and into a power outlet. If you don't, your computer will go to sleep in a few minutes to preserve its memory contents.
Okay, then. Well, I will do that. Let me do that. I'm going to pause the recording, and I will provide a power source for this, because it does seem to want that. So I'll pause this and be right back. All right, we are back on the recording here, and I have my adapter plugged in. And that does give me an opportunity to show you something else that's kind of cool that this will do while it's charging. If we go back to the battery menu again here with Control F8.
Modem, PPP menu extra, clock, systems airport, for the full battery menu, 1 hour and 10 minutes until full.
It'll tell you 1 hour and 10 minutes till full, so that's about how long it'll take to charge. So you have somewhat of an idea of how long it's going to take. So that's kind of a cool feature, and if you arrow down...
Battery menu, 20% full.
20% full, so that'll tell you to the percentage. So I thought I'd show you that. That's kind of a nifty thing. Kind of gives you an idea of how long it's going to take to charge. Okay, so we are in numbers here, and it's asking what template we want to use.
Template chooser, grid one item selected. Blank image.
Just a blank template. That's fine. Let's go ahead and go with that.
Open recent menu. Open an existing file. Minimum size 28.2. Maximum size button.
Okay.
Cancel button. Choose default button. Press choose default button. Now in window. Untitled. Scroll area. Layout area. Numbers has new window.
Okay.
100% pop up. Show or hide print view button. The help show or hide print view button.
Okay.
100 layout area.
So that's where we need to go. We need to interact with that, I think.
It table 1, table layout item.
Okay.
Table 1, table layout item. Table 1, table layout item.
So what we can do here...
Column 1, row 1, header cell.
There we
the
go.
The help tab is column A, row 1.
Okay, column A, row 1. So now we are in A1. So we could just type, like I said, I don't know a whole lot about typing these spreadsheet formulas, but let's just type in, 25 in here.
5. Column 1, row 25. Column 1, row 1, header cell. Column 1, row 2, header cell.
So column 1, row 2... type another 25, I guess.
Text cell, edit text, 2, it 2, 5.
25, and it becomes like an edit text when you start to type. So, like I said, I don't know anything about writing spreadsheet formulas. I can just arrow up and down through this and show you that it does read, which I'll do for you.
25, column 1, row 1, header cell. 25, column 1, row 2, header cell.
That's about all I know of spreadsheets. So, but it does read, and presumably you could enter formulas and be able to read those. So numbers seems to be accessible as far as basic stuff goes, as far as spreadsheets. All right, let's go ahead and quit out of this, and I will show you a little bit about OpenOffice. You can have a look at that.
25, column 1, finder, window.
Okay.
Close window. Now in window, app. Close window. Now in desktop.
All right. OpenOffice is free, and again, it is a it's a Java application. But on the Mac, Java, if an application is has labels, Java stuff does work quite well actually on the Mac, and as we'll see in just a second here. Let's go ahead. I don't have this on my dock either, so let's go back to applications.
Applications. Now in window. Applications. List view.
Do a Command-Shift-A there to get to that. All right, if I just type OP.
OpenOffice.org.app.
OpenOffice.org.app. That should be it. Let's go ahead and open that.
Open.
And that'll take a second to load because it has to load the Java components and that type of thing, which come built into the Mac. You don't have to install anything. Really, you just copy the app like any other application. But
OpenOffice.org. Window, OpenOffice.org, text document button, has keyboard focus.
Okay, so let's just read this window.
Close button, minimize button, zoom button, OpenOffice.org. Welcome to OpenOffice.org. Create a new document. Text document button. Text document. Spreadsheet button.
Let's go ahead and do text document
text
for now.
OpenOffice.org, text document. Spreadsheet, text document button. Edit text.
And we are ready to type. Now, I'll tell you, the...
OpenOffice.org has new window.
The tooltips and things that OpenOffice provides are very, very good. You actually get more information than you do out of Microsoft Word in Windows. I usually keep my toolbars turned off because they get kind of clutters the screen, but I'll enable some of them so you can see that for yourself here.
Edit text. edit text.
That's all I've got on the screen is the edit text. Let's go to the menu bar. Control F2.
Menu bar, Apple, open, edit, view, check mark, print layout, web layout, check mark, zoom, check web toolbars, sub toolbars, sub menu, 24 items, 3D settings, align, 3, reset, customize, formula, hyperlink bar, tools, text object, table, standard, viewing mode, standard.
Okay, let's just go ahead and enable the standard toolbar.
Standard, checked.
Okay, now if we move up to that toolbar with the trackpad, if we flick to the left...
Edit text.
I think I'm interacting with that, actually. Let me tell it to stop doing that.
Stop interacting with edit text. Document view group.
Let's see...
Stop interacting with scroll area, toolbar.
There's the toolbar. Let's just interact with that.
Interact with toolbar. 26 items, 0. Creates a new openoffice.org document. Selected menu button.
Okay, let's just go to the right now.
Open, selected button. The help tab is, opens or imports a file. Save, dim selected button. The help tab is, saves the current document. Document as email, selected button. The help tab is, opens a new window in your default email program with the current document as an attachment. The edit file, dim selected button. The help tab is, enables you to edit a read-only document or database table. Export directly as PDF, selected button. The help tab is, exports the current document directly as PDF. No settings dialog is shown. Print file directly, selected button. The help tab is, click the print file directly icon to print the active document with the current default print settings.
So as you can see, the toolbars are well labeled and the tooltips that they provide are excellent. It's hard to believe that this is actually a Java application, considering how in Windows most screen readers literally become speechless when you run Java applications. But VoiceOver handles this pretty well. All right, let's go ahead and get out of this toolbar.
Stop interacting with toolbar.
And I'll go ahead and hide that again because I usually don't use that. So we'll go back to the view menu.
Menu bar, Apple, edit, view, web layout, zoom, comment, check mark. Hidden paragraph, non-print, data sources, navigator, F5, full screen, zoom, check mark, print layout, web elect toolbar, status, toolbar, submenu, custom form, pipe tool, text op table, standard, check mark, standard.
So it's standard. I'll go ahead and uncheck that.
Closing, standard.
Okay. Now let's get back to the edit text area.
Document view, group. Click the up button to scroll to the previous page or object button. The help tab is, click the up button to scroll to the previous page, document view, interact with, document edit text.
Okay.
Edit text.
There we go. All right, so let's type another sentence. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. We'll do that one.
T, space, B, R, W, D, R, B, Q, I, space, B, R, space, O, space, G, U, F, space, X, space.
I'm going to misspell lazy again.
A-Z-Y-Z-A-L-A-Z-Z-G, period.
Now, I think with this, it will give us the attribute info. Let's see.
Period. P, over.
Let's try that here with the control option T. No, that one doesn't either. I know I did that one time. I'll have to find out. I know there's a way to get that. I'll have to check into that one. But all right, we've got a text here.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lassie dog.
The lassie dog. Okay. Now, OpenOffice uses the same commands as Microsoft Word does. So to spell check, it's not command semicolon here. It would be F7. It's the spell check. Now, because it's not a standard Mac application, it's a Java app, VoiceOver really has no way to tell what the misspelled word is directly. But there is a way you can tell. It's not perfect, but it does work. By looking at the suggestions, you can kind of tell. Let me go ahead and hit F7.
Spelling and grammar. Now in window, spelling, English, USA, change button.
All right, let's just go ahead. I'm going to touch the top of the trackpad here.
Close button.
And let's just read this window.
Dimmed minima. Dimmed zoom button. Spelling, English, USA. Text language, pop-up button, the, not in dictionary, Edit text. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Okay, so it reads the sentence where it's at. Now, as far as to find out which word it is, let me see if we do the current word command, if that gives us any hint. Okay, yeah, it puts it on the first. It puts the... That's somewhat more of a voiceover limit, or a open office thing as opposed to voiceover, because it should, in theory, put the cursor on the word that's misspelled, but OpenOffice doesn't seem to do that, so VoiceOver is just making do with what it can. But again, there's a way around it. Let's keep reading this window.
Ignored once button. Ignored all button. Add button. Suggestions. Suggestions menu. 5 items.
All right.
The help tab is list suggested words to replace the misspelled word. Select the word that you want to use, and then click change or change all.
Okay. Now, I think if we either go down with the voiceover keys here, or if we, let's see.
Help button.
Okay, we have to use the
autocorrect button. Change all. Change button. Suggestions menu. 5 items. The help tab is list suggested words to replace the misspelled word. Jazzy.
Okay, so what you got to do there is you got to use the regular arrow keys to pull that menu down. Okay.
Lazy. The help tab is list suggested words.
Okay, so lazy is what we want. Now let's.
Word. Select the word.
Now let's see if we do the current word here.
Suggestions.
Let's see.
Jazzy, lazy. The help tag is suggestions. S U.
Yeah. See it. The cursor. It does something odd with the cursor. But so lazy is the one that it was pointing at, and that's how you can tell what word it's thinking of, is by by looking at the suggestions. So let's hit enter to replace that.
Now in window, openoffice.org, 3.2, OK button. The spell check is complete, OK button.
Okay, the spell check is complete. Let's hit OK
edit
on that.
Text, insertion at beginning of text.
Okay.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
So it did correct it. So not perfect, but usable. And again, part of that is just because it's a Java app and VoiceOver is making do with what it can with the information it's provided in that spell checker window, but it is usable. I would, and certainly if you need to, open up a Microsoft Word document, text edit, actually, that comes with the Mac will do that. But if you need something more advanced, as far as which one's better, Pages or OpenOffice, I don't know. One's free, one you have to pay for. It might just be try them both and see which one works best for you. They're both usable. Not perfect, certainly, but again, is anything perfect? Even in Windows, the access to the word processors isn't always, perfect. Let me show you the spreadsheet of OpenOffice. We'll take a look at that. Go ahead and I'm going to do Command W here to close this document out.
Now in window, openoffice.org, 3.2. Save button.
No, I don't want to save this, so we'll just tab to
discard button.
Discard and select that. Okay.
OpenOffice.org has no windows.
Okay. It has no windows, so we need to go to the file menu.
Menu bar, Apple, File, Start Center, Command, Open Document, Start Text Document, Command, Spreadsheet, Command S.
That's what we want, Spreadsheet. Everything for OpenOffice, Spreadsheet, all that stuff is contained in one application. So we'll just hit enter on that.
Click now in window, Untitled 1, OpenOffice.org, Calc, Scroll Area, Cell A1, Edit Text.
Okay, so we are in Cell A1, and I can type a number here. I don't know, maybe do 25 again.
Edit text, 2, 5.
Okay, and let's go ahead and arrow down.
Cell A2, edit text.
Cell A2, let me do another 25 here.
Edit text, 2, 5.
And I don't know, let's go ahead and arrow to the right once now.
Cell B2, edit text.
Okay, so cell B2, we're in now. We'll do another 25 here.
Edit text, 2, 5.
And we can go back and read them now.
25, cell A2, edit text, insertion at beginning of text. 25, cell A1, edit text, insertion at beginning of text.
So, it does read them. Again, I have no idea how to write spreadsheet formulas. Otherwise, we could probably do some calculations, but I'm sure that it would read. So, I don't know how it would work with advanced stuff with that. I'm not sure, but certainly you could do some basic spreadsheet stuff and considering that, you know, OpenOffice is a Java app, VoiceOver deals with it pretty well. Certainly if anybody that uses Macs wants to try this, you can go to openoffice.org, or you can get, you know, iWork from the Apple site, apple.com/iWork. We'll go ahead and quit out of here with Command Q.
Quit OpenOffice.
And I don't want to save that.
Discard button. Finder. Window.
And we're back in the Finder.
Close window. Now in desktop.
So that gives you a little idea of the laptops with the trackpad, which you can do. I did most of the navigation, of course, with that. And it really is a handy feature. It's a really, really nice way to navigate around. Give you a little idea of how the word processing and spreadsheet stuff work. I wish I knew more about how to do spreadsheets, which I don't. But certainly I'd love to hear from anybody who has played with those, and I'd love to know what you think. Well, with that, I'm going to go ahead and conclude this one. I hope everybody enjoys it, and keep those comments coming. Love hearing from everybody. And your comments are so much appreciated. It makes it all worthwhile. And again, hats off to Apple for building this into their operating system. It is wonderful. And it works great. I mean, you figure the Mac Minis, okay? The cheapest Mac Mini now is $599. That costs less than some of the actual major Windows screen readers. And here that it's built in. So more and more blind people are switching to the Mac, and it's very easy to understand why. And I think that's a trend that's going to continue, because when you've got accessibility built in, there's just no beating it. Anyway, if any of you want to contact me, would love to hear from you. My email address is the letter N as in Nancy, 0 OXY, that's my ham radio call, so it's N0OXY at charter, charter, .net. So again, it's N0OXY at charter.net. And until next time, everyone take care, and hopefully we will talk soon. And hopefully more and more people will be getting Macs, and you know, letting Apple know how much we appreciate the accessibility that they've built into not only the Mac, but the iPhone, the iPod Touch, and now the iPad also. It's definitely hats off to them for sure. So, again, everyone take care, and we'll talk soon.